Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, I did say it's Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
Hello, you know what that music means. Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
All right, another beautiful sunny day in Schomburg.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, if you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, go ahead and feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. But, hey, you know, check out, catch up, check up, whatever you got to do, it should pop up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, Stu is not on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can forward any messages you have along have for Stu. No problem. I would do that for you. Oh, all right, Stu. Well, we're up and running, and you know, before I know we'll probably jump into baseball and talk a lot about baseball, but there was something I realized you and I didn't ever really get to wrestling wise. And I, you know, really kind of interested to get your thoughts here while we're on the air, and that's the Cody Rhodes move back to the WWE. I was kind of wondering, you know, what your thoughts were about that. You know, he was one of the, I guess you'd call him a founding father of AEW, and his contract expired and he left.
Yeah, it was certainly a shocking development. I thought, as you pointed out, one of the ones along with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega who started AEW, and maybe he thought that Tony Khan had taken over too much in the way of management, and he decided to move back to the WWE.
Yeah, I was wondering, did you think it was that, or is it just possible that he realized with the signings they had made, you know, not only did they already have Kenny Omega, but then you add guys like Bryan Danielson. You know, of course, they had Jon Moxley from the start as well. Do you think maybe he kind of saw the writing on the wall that he would never be the face of AEW like he kind of started out as, and he would never be the world champion, so that kind of influenced him to leave? Do you think it was more ego-driven than people have been led on to believe?
It's a possibility, and I would be very surprised, though, if he ever was elevated to the top level at the WWE myself. I don't think he's quite has a name power, a name value to succeed at the highest level, though he seems to think he's the best wrestler in the world, of course.
Yeah, see, and I wonder if that's what it was, if it was just ego-driven, because, you know, he's a solid in-ring guy, and, you know, he was a really good secondary champion there for AEW, even though he was pushed like the top guy. You know, let's not make any bones about it. He had booking influence, and he was pushed as a top guy there, you know, even in some cases more than the champion was. But, you know, he's not, I mean, you know, is he a serious contender now for Roman Reigns? Is anybody going to take that serious?
I don't think so. Although I think they're trying to, looks like they're starting to push for a match between him and Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns outweighs him about, what, 30 or 40 pounds. So would that be a credible if he would actually beat him to win the title? Would people believe that kind of an outcome of a match when if they ever met in the ring?
It's such a different business now that nobody cares or notices about size. So.
Yeah, and he's as you pointed out, he is a solid worker. Although I've never thought of him as being the top worker in an organization, despite his skills in the ring. I always thought of him as way up there in the upper mid-card range, maybe at best, as an example of possibly an intercontinental champion or United States champion, but not the universal champion.
No, and that's all he was before he left. But obviously, this is the first jump from AEW to WWE. Everything generally happens in reverse. Everybody's been leaving WWE to go to AEW, where they're allowed to kind of do more or less what they want wrestling wise. They're not trapped in by that WWE style. So I think they've got to push him, right? I mean, they can't leave him on the sidelines or make him look bad, can they?
No, and when you say they're going to push him, though, are you actually think they're going to actually eventually push him into a match against Roman Reigns for the title? Or is it going to be simply a matter of meeting the top names other than Roman Reigns, like rematches with Seth Rollins and some of the other top-level competitors in the WWE?
Yeah, well, I know I read right now that his feud with Rollins is going to continue. But, once he comes out of that, I mean, Rollins is considered, a top guy, a main guy. Where do you go after that? I know I think Rhodes beat The Miz on Monday night, but Miz isn't considered, he's nowhere main event caliber anymore. So,
no.
Mr. Rollins, he can't go into a feud with Miz after Rollins. Where does he go next? I mean, is there another top heel out there for him?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who would be a really top heel for him to compete against. Now, I don't think that Omos is skill-wise could have a good match against Cody. Certainly AJ Styles could, though. But AJ is now considered a face, though, so that wouldn't work out. So who would be the top heel?
Could it be Edge and his new little group that they're forming with Damian Priest? And I guess they're going to add apparently they want to add a woman to the group and maybe one more male wrestler.
Yeah, Damian Priest is an interesting wrestler. Is Edge actually going to come back and work a full schedule for the WWE? Or just
no,
this group, basically.
Yeah, I think the object is he'll lead the group and then he won't have to wrestle all the time because he can send his lackeys, so to speak, after these guys.
Yeah, well, Damian Priest might be a good match against Cody Rhodes, but I certainly wouldn't consider that the main event of any pay-per-view, for example.
Right.
It might be a good semi-wind-up, to use a term from the old days.
So, yeah, and, that's the big question is kind of where do you go and who do they have that could, can move up? I mean, at this point with Reigns beating Brock Lesnar, who is even his next challenger?
That's another good point, and would it be Bobby Lashley? But they've already competed once or twice.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to think of, I guess it's possible AJ Styles could be that guy.
I don't think he would be up to the level of beating Roman Reigns. What about the often mentioned Drew McIntyre? Who has a size?
Oh yeah, I believe I read he's supposed to be the next feud, but he's already been bested by I can't remember who beat him for the title. Was it Reigns or was it somebody else? I mean, you know, he hasn't been pushed really hard. I don't know how credible he becomes.
And the thing in the WWE is that there's never a decisive outcome in these matches anyway. Something's always will affect the outcome, either outside interference, a ref bump, something like that. And
yeah,
somehow the fans seem to put up with it, and I can't understand why.
So yeah, it's kind of odd that, you know, they just look at it as, hey, you know, here, this is how they do it. You know, are they just so used to it that it's like, whatever.
I would love to see Roman Reigns, who has a lot of charisma, I think, as a world champion, having a match in which there is no outside interference, no ref bump, and maybe beat his opponent decisively anyway. That would really elevate him in my eyes. But is that ever going to happen?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head when was the last time he had a clean win, but I don't watch enough of it to really pay attention to what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the other legitimate contenders besides, as I mentioned, Bobby Lashley, and I can't quite consider AJ as a legitimate contender, although he is a very skilled wrestler.
Yeah, what Styles' main job seems to be now is to make other guys look good.
And he's very good at doing that.
Yeah, you know, they put him in with guys that they want to have look good.
And he got some very high praise from The Undertaker, Mark Calloway, when they had their match.
Yeah.
And he said he really opened his eyes a little bit and said that he did a terrific job when he wrestled him, making The Undertaker, whose skills have obviously diminished over the years, of course, age-related, making him look good anyway. And he could do that with any opponent, I think. He can make an opponent look good.
Definitely, you know, a skill he has. He's a very skilled wrestler. So
he is. Definitely no doubt about that.
And, you know, you do, you know, the more you think about a guy like Styles, you wonder how successful he could have been in AEW, where he would have guys that could work on his level instead of him having to elevate everybody. You know, how would he be if he worked guys who were equal to him?
Yeah, he would have had some good matches against them. And I don't know, did he ever wrestle Bryan Danielson in the WWE? They must have met one time or another.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if they ever did end up meeting, but I'm not sure. You know, again, like I said, I don't watch enough of it anymore to really kind of remember.
But yeah, he certainly has proven himself over the years. He had some great matches in Japan, very, very well regarded there, and of course, an Impact and all over the place. So he's certainly proved himself, and he's not the biggest guy in the world either. So I'm sure his body, despite the fact that it's a work sport, he has taken a lot of abuse over the years because of the competitive ways his bouts are. I mean, he seems to take a lot of bumps during the course of his match.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, that helps that other guy look good, you know. And sadly, I think, you know, a lot of times it hurts AJ, because I believe he was just beaten by Edge at the last pay-per-view.
Yes.
You know, while, hey, it's great, you know, Edge is here or back or however you want to look at it, you know, did they need another part-timer, you know?
So is AJ's push as a champion contender over with for the moment?
Yeah, it looks like him being, you know, because he had the title, the one title run, you know, and I know he's held the secondary title and he's been a tag champ lately, but he hasn't really been pushed to the top of the card, where, you know, a guy with that kind of talent belongs. So you have to wonder if maybe they're done with him. You know, and this is going to be his lot. We'll just find a new big money deal. So maybe they do have plans for him, but who knows?
I think they're pretty pleased with how he's performed for them over the years, though. He certainly has always does a good job in the ring and, as you say, elevating his opponents.
Yeah, I mean, they should be thrilled with the way he's performed for them. I mean, you know, there's no doubt about it, but, you know, it doesn't appear that it's going to be a reward as another top of the card title run.
No. So maybe you're right then. Maybe Cody's going to be pushed to get a title shot against Roman Reigns, because other than Drew McIntyre and possibly Bobby Lashley, who else would be considered a serious contender? And normally they don't match heel versus heel. Is Seth Rollins gravitating towards becoming a face again?
Not if he's going to feud with Cody. He'll be in a heel role.
So who's left then for being a contender for? Well, of course, we're forgetting about his opponent that he beat to unify the title. Or is he going to be a part-time wrestler again?
Yeah, I believe his contract is for, you know, a per appearance. You know, he doesn't sign a regular contract like everybody else where you're under contract to them for so many years or whatever. You know, he's I'm going to appear this many times and that's it. So they have to, you know, they kind of got to pick and choose his spots.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. A lot of people thought that Reigns was going to drop the title to him at WrestleMania, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, I guess there is one guy we're overlooking, and maybe it's just because he's been in a tag team for so long, but what about Randy Orton? You know, he's credible. He's been a face.
Yeah, I wonder about. He's been around what 20 years in the organization. I've never been all that enamored with his skill level. It seems to me a lot of his matches are very repetitive.
Of course, well, they all are now.
Yeah, but his especially seems very repetitive. Of course, no one could be more repetitive than Ric Flair in his matches,
right?
Which I always thought was a very, very big flaw in his. Everybody thought he was a great wrestler, and maybe so, but my goodness, every spot repeated every single match, and that I think takes away from his ability as an overall classic performer in the ring.
So yeah, because you know, Orton started back in Ohio Valley in 2001. So he's been on the WWE roster for 21 years. But, you know, I mean, I know he's under contract and, you know, he's going to be there for a little while yet. You know, and I mean, obviously, he's got fans. He's definitely, you know, a popular guy. Maybe he's the guy.
Maybe he is, but his personality between heel and face has switched back so many times over the years that you always wonder when he's going to change again. I mean, my question is, when is he going to turn on Riddle?
Yeah, you know, I think people have been wondering that for I don't know how long now. You know, his personality does seem a little better suited to the heel role, but he's been a face for quite a while, so...
I know that he's done some interviews in which he always preferred to be wrestling as a heel as compared to being a face.
Yeah, well, to be fair, everybody prefers to wrestle as a heel. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So.
Did you prefer? Well, you were only a heel for a short time, so did you enjoy that?
You know, but that was me. I like that better. But heel is easy. That's why, guys like it. It's super easy to be a heel.
There is just so much turning now and switching between heel and faces in the current crop of professional wrestling that it gets kind of old. It almost never happened when I started watching in the 50s. The only turn I ever saw in about 8 or 9 years of watching was when Yukon Eric became a heel. And that only lasted for a short period of time. But, of course, it did generate a lot of interest. But that was the only one I've ever saw change his personality.
No, well, you know, it used to be a huge deal when it happened back then. You know, when a guy switched sides, that was huge. Now it's just, it happens every week. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, and that to me ruins the sport. Or should I say sport entertainment?
Yeah, well, you know, they killed that so long ago. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hard to watch now, of course, being someone who grew up in the 50s watching it. And I think I pointed out to you, or maybe I haven't on the air, that when I first started watching in the 50s, people say, how many times did you see a match ended due to outside interference? And I say, very simple, none. Zero. It never happened.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things you got to give AEW credit for, that they don't do a lot of that. They don't fall on that or, you know, get into that trap. There's always, you know, some here or there, but, you know, again, that's part of wrestling. It's a big part of wrestling now, but they, you know, they generally give you good outcomes with their matches.
They've been building this outcome. I don't know if you saw what happened on the show on Wednesday, but MJF was wrestling somebody, and of course Wardlow came in, and in the meantime, with all this chaos going on, and the so-called security guards were probably independent wrestlers.
Indie guys,
right? He wound up losing the match on a count out, and I never understand how that they could come up with that kind of a decision in a match like that. You would think there would be a disqualification or no contest, but...
Yeah, but you know, when you think about it, you know, what the crowd wants to see is MJF lose.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's his job. So he lost, but it didn't hurt his credibility at all because he lost by count out, and it built the match that him and Wardlow are eventually going to have, or the feud that him and Wardlow are eventually going to have.
And I wonder if that's going to be at the next, and I'm not sure when the next pay-per-view is. You think that's finally going to happen?
Yeah, you would think that's what they would be building for. You know, I know they have that Night of Champions thing coming up. I think is that next Friday or the Friday after or something? They're going to do that, but I think it's that probably won't be involved there. So, yeah, you would think the next pay-per-view.
And that probably won't be just a one-off. It'll probably start a series of matches.
Yeah, you would think it would make sense for it to be a series, you know, because I'm sure, you know, Wardlow's going to have to beat Shawn Spears at some point in time. Because he's still aligned with MJF, but I think that he's the only guy who's left out of that group is Spears. So,
yeah, when MJF actually wrestles, he's not too bad. I mean, he's not a bad worker.
Yeah, no, he's got all the tools to be really successful. You know, we'll just have to see how they handle it. You know, I know sometimes he manages to get himself, you know, in the doghouse when he goes on podcasts and stuff and starts talking about how, you know, he could get so much more money if he signed with Vince, or he could do this or he could do that. And, you know, so he has a difficult time knowing when to keep his mouth yet, or he's just in character and nobody knows it. But. You know, I assume somewhere down the line he'll be AEW champion. I just don't know when.
Well, it won't be overnight. It won't be this year, certainly.
Well, maybe towards the end of the year, if you build it correctly. you know, because there, you know, there aren't a ton of challengers now. I know it looks like, you know, like I know they've got a match tonight, Adam Page and Adam Cole. I assume Page will retain, and then they'll do Page against CM Punk. So would they really strap Punk?
Yeah, Punk has not looked all that good to me, and he looks like he's, of course, as I mentioned, of course, we know it's a work sport, but he, either he's giving a lot of offense to his opponents or else he's really not in 100% wrestling shape yet since because of the 7-year layoff.
Yeah, it looks, you know, like the match he had Wednesday night wasn't anything special. And it just looks more and more like the time off really took its toll on him.
Yeah, and I must ask you this as being a former worker for so many years, even as I keep pointing out, a work sport, the rust still hurts, even though it the matches are work. You could still see that the rust is there.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely has struggled. You know, and that's you have to wonder if he moves up in competition, can he hang with those guys anymore? You know, can he stay with an Adam Page, or could he stay with a Brian Danielson or a Kenny Omega, you know, if they were to have a match down the line? I don't think he could.
Now, when you say he struggled, are you saying he struggled from a technical wrestling point of view, or else does he just seem like he runs out of gas quickly?
No, it really looks like he's struggling technically in the ring. And, you know, it's to the point now where it just doesn't look like he can do what he used to be able to do.
Yeah, the 7-year layoff apparently has hurt him more than some other wrestlers because, well, look at the – we're talking about layoffs.
Long,
look at Edge was out longer than that, and he seems to have come back fairly successfully in the ring.
Yeah, but I think Punk has wrestled more, which is even odder because you would think the more he wrestled, the sharper he would get. But it didn't seem like it Wednesday night. He didn't look sharp to me at all. I taped it, so I was able to go back and watch it.
Yeah, he did not. And the only thing I taped in that was I wanted to see the Samoa Joe wrestle that wrestler from Japan for the ROH TV title, which I watched. And surprisingly, Joe had a clean finish and became a champion.
Oh, that didn't surprise me. I figured they'd either do a clean finish and Joe would win, or else it would be some kind of throwout because Lethal and what's-his-name would get involved.
Yeah, and of course they got involved, but he got involved after the match. So I guess they're setting up
for when they do the Ring of Honor stuff. So, but yeah, that was one of those matches I wouldn't want to be in. That was just too rough for me.
Yeah, it looked like it was pretty stiff when they wrestled.
Yeah.
Unless they took it easy in their chops, I couldn't quite tell. Their chests look kind of red to me though.
Yeah, they were both pretty beat up, and that's just I don't want anything to do with that. So
especially now.
Yeah, well, I think Suzuki might be close to my age. He's been around a long time, but I still don't want anything to do with it.
So is that just a one-off for him? Is he going back to Ring of Honor or Japan? Is that just it for him in AEW?
No, I'm sure he'll pop up again because they have that working relationship with New Japan. But, you know, his bread and butter is Japan, obviously, so He'll pop up from time to time, but he's not going to be here on a regular basis like some of the other people.
I find it interesting that if Joe works as either a heel or a face, no matter what, either way, he's still over with the fans in a big way.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Chris Jericho is a lot like that, too. No matter what he is, they still sing his song.
Yeah. I meant to ask you, that now that we're talking wrestling, can you understand I can't understand the lyrics of that song. I have no idea what they're singing.
You know, to be honest, I've never listened to it except when he comes out, but I know it's titled Judas in My Mind, I believe.
Yeah,
so
I assume is that a Fozzy song, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's a Fozzy song.
So.
Well, he has a very sharp mind for wrestling.
Yeah,
I have to give him credit. He's in the dark downside of his career now, but he's a very astute. He knows a lot about the business.
Yeah, and you know he looked much better Wednesday night than I expected. He looks like he's lost a little weight, and his wrestling was much better than it had been.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to go another couple of years, you think? Two or three more years as a competitor?
Yeah, you know, and I know he said he's going to stick around after he stops wrestling, so I don't know if he'll do commentary like he does or if there's another plan. You know, maybe he'll slide into that, you know, that mouthpiece role for the guys who need it.
Yeah, and he's not bad behind the mic either.
Yeah, no, he knows how to get his point across and get the fans going in the direction you need. And, you know, I mean, this will be an interesting group for him because, you know, the tag team he's with was a jobber team in WWE. So we'll see if he can get them over, you know, along with building up this Daniel Garcia, who everybody thinks has a really big future.
Yeah, I think he needs a little more experience, but he seems to have a good possibility of becoming a good, solid performer over the next year or two at least.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this group shakes out, but obviously it's very similar to his last group. He's still got Jake Hager in it. He's with a tag team, and then he's with a young up-and-coming guy. So
I find it interesting that Jake Hager is stuck with him now. He's never turned on them, and they're still together.
Yeah, well, apparently they're friends in real life. I didn't realize that. Or outside of the ring, whatever you want to call it. So,
well, Hager, when he wrestled, he had a fairly decent run a few years ago in the WWE also.
Yeah, until he got busted for marijuana. So
He had an interesting character. I forgot what his name was in WWE, but he was
Jack Swagger.
That's right. Oh, you remembered and I didn't. Well, I always say another.
Well, you know,
he was
a legit wrestler too, so he's got a background.
Yeah, and I don't think is he undefeated in MMA or I think he's.
Yeah, I heard he was, but he only had like three or four fights. He hasn't fought in a long time.
Even with a limited amount of fights, it's pretty impressive because how is CM Punk done in mixed martial arts? Yeah. Not very well.
Well, to be fair, Punk was in UFC, which is the main one where the best talent goes. Guys like, you know, Hager and Bobby Lashley, they didn't fight UFC.
Yeah, well, Lashley, I think, would have done okay in UFC if he had a chance. He's got
I believe he was undefeated as well. I believe he was 5 or 6-0, I thought.
Yeah, he...
Even a tough guy like Brock Lesnar got beat in UFC.
Yeah, he lost a couple times. I think. Just once.
No.
But Lashley has an incredible physique. I mean, very impressive physique. And I wonder if he's just not mobile enough to maybe they consider he wouldn't do an entertaining match with the current champion, with Roman Reigns. And could he go 30 minutes with him? I'm not sure if he can last that long.
Yeah, I'm looking at Hager's record. He's actually 3-0-1. He has one no contest on his record. So, but he hasn't lost. But he hasn't fought. Well, yeah, last been coming up on 2 years. October 29, 2020 was the last time he fought.
I wonder how they wind up with a no contest in that kind of in that sport. You see it all the time.
I can tell you,
pro wrestling.
Repeated groin strikes from Hager that rendered his opponent by the name of Anthony Garrett unable to continue.
Well, aren't those strikes illegal?
Well, not if they're accidental, which these
okay.
were ruled. So.
Yeah,
as long as they're
about, sure.
You know, just kind of how it works out. So I want to see what Bobby, if they have Bobby Lashley's record as well, to see how he is and how many fights he's had. But it doesn't look like they have it listed here. They have the places he's fought, but they don't have his record like they did for Hager. So, but yeah, unfortunately,
none
they do have that he's been in four movies. So,
I assume now he's a face in WWE since he split with MJ from MVP.
Yeah, here. Yeah, he's a face. Now, I did find it. He is 15-2 in his MMA career. So he had a lot more fights than I thought he did.
That's a lot of fights. That's a lot of fights.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking to see if he fought anybody whose name, like, jumps out at me that I actually know. Oh, he did fight former Bears draft pick Bob Sapp.
And did he beat him?
So, yeah, he beat him in the first round, TKO'd him. So, yeah, Bob Sapp was the Bears, like, I think he was a second-round draft pick that didn't make the team out of training camp and went on to have a fairly successful career in as a Japanese wrestler, a monster Japanese wrestler. So,
yeah,
but then he moved over into mixed martial arts and didn't do very well.
Well, two completely different sports. Well,
but yeah, that's unfortunate. So, but I'm sure he made quite a bit of money, and hopefully, he saved it, so he should be just fine.
One can only hope. We always worry about these guys that they don't throw their money away, their hard-earned money away, because they certainly put their bodies on the line. And these bouts, you think they would invest wisely and take care of their purses the proper way.
Oh, but all right, well, I think we covered enough wrestling so we can slide over, and we're just, you know, a day, 8 days into the Major League Baseball season. So what are your takeaways early on here?
It's so hard to say after only 4 or 5 games, and I'm very surprised that the Cubs are 4-2 right now, but we'll see how long that lasts. And Suzuki is off to a promising start, but when I see that, I think Fukudomi, but I think he might be a little bit more athletic than Fukudomi, so maybe he can wind up having a decent season. And a lot of the so-called experts are picking him to be the Rookie of the Year. So maybe he will be the real deal.
Yeah, I think he'll be Rookie of the Year when we made our pick. So.
But
I'm one of those experts.
Yeah, it's hard. In 6 games, I mean, it's hard to say who's off to a good start, who's off to a bad start. And it looks like St. Louis is going to be certainly in contention in the Central. They'll be fighting out with Milwaukee, but we knew that before the season started.
Well, you forgot to mention that the Cubs are actually in first place going into tonight's action.
Yes,
so,
we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. You know, you can't forget that. So, You know, I know the one thing I learned over this first week from watching highlights and all the stuff, because I'm not watching games, but I catch the highlights and stuff on the various shows to keep up. I have learned that analytics has actually ruined the game, because the first thing they talk about after, you know, after they show highlights, they rarely, if ever, even bother to tell you who won the game. They just want to go in to talk about the players they want. And, you know, I know I've picked on Shohei Ohtani a lot here, and he is a great player. I'm not going to deny that. But after his first start, they talked about how great he did. Nobody mentioned that the Angels lost the game. And for me, the object kind of always have been, you need to win.
That's the name
so
of the game.
So I don't care how good you played, you need to win the game.
Exactly right.
You know, and he gave up the runs that lost the game. Last night he got rocked, and they were searching for great things to say about him. You know, all they could talk about was his strikeouts. You know, unfortunately, they had to show the grand slam he gave up. But he only lasted, I don't even think he pitched four innings last night.
Not even that, no.
So,
well, isn't baseball considered a team sport?
Right. Well, you wouldn't know that by the way they treat these things.
You
know, they find those guys, and that's it. You know, and he's the guy they've chosen.
Yeah, it's just so early in the season right now. I do notice that, by the way, that our friend Kyle Schwarber is not off to a very good start.
No, after he hit that home run in his first at bat, he scuffled. So, and he better pick it up, or else the fans will be booing him there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, you know that's going to happen. That's an automatic thing in Philadelphia.
You know, and it did only take a week for Byron Buxton to leave a game with an injury. He left today's Twins game with what they're describing as knee soreness. So he'll probably end up on the IL.
Well, this is not unique. You can't be surprised about that happening.
Oh God, no! That's why I couldn't understand. Everybody was on his bandwagon. You know, oh yeah, this guy's got all the talent in the world. He's a potential MVP. He never plays.
Well, he might be right about him being a potential MVP, but if he ever stayed healthy.
Right. I mean, if you you can be as great as you want. If you can't stay on the field, there's a bazillion other players to talk about. I mean, move on.
Yeah. This guy is, for some reason, some players, and we've talked about this before, and we don't know the answer to it, some everyday players are just injury prone.
Yeah. And he's one of them. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So
now, is Elroy Jimenez going to be another one like that?
Yeah, he's starting to look like that. You know, he's slowly but surely. I mean, I don't know if he's in the lineup tonight. I haven't looked. I can probably find out. But yeah, he just, you know, I think he's been hurt. What, this is his third year, and I think he's had injuries every year. So we'll see.
It's interesting that at most players, when they foul a ball off their shin or their ankle, they could, like, what's the Okeche, put a little tobacco juice on it and get back in and finish their at-bat. And they stay in the lineup and play the next day, but some players just can't seem to handle it and miss significant playing time. And he looks like one of these guys that's going to be perennially injured for a variety of miscellaneous tweaks.
Well, he is in the lineup tonight, so.
Well, I hope he's okay, because the weather is not conducive. And he's coming back from that kind of an injury, and it's not going to be very pleasant at the ballpark tonight, that's for sure.
No, you know, and that may be part of the reason, you know, the other reason he came out of the game. You know, the weather wasn't great yesterday. And, as early as it is in the season, you don't want to take the chance. So taking him out isn't huge.
No, no. Well, another player that we've talked about before seems to get nicked and dinged every season is Chris Bryan.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird because it all seemed to start after he got hit in the head or the face there.
Right, right.
It started to seem to happen more after that.
Yeah, agreed. And it seemed like after that it was just a series of tweaks and twinges that accumulated and detracted from his overall performance. And I think I said it before, I don't think he's ever going to be the ball player we thought he was going to be. Not to say he's not a good, solid, excellent major league ball player. He is. But he's not going to reach the high level that we thought he would.
No, and you do wonder with getting hit in the head like that still has an effect. I mean, remember, Jason Hayward was predicted to be a big-time superstar, and he took that shot to the head, and he, let's face it, he's been terrible as a Cub. I mean, he's still
horrible.
A great defender, but offensively, he's never gotten back to that state.
And it's psychologically, some players, I guess, never completely 100% recover from getting a serious injury like that.
Yeah, and you just, again, these are two guys who were hit in the head. So you wonder if that still sits in the back of their mind.
And I think that that's a very valid point. But some players can shake it off. They can get have a serious injury in that area and come back and be as productive as ever.
Yeah, well, like Francisco Lindor got hit in the face earlier. The ball deflected off his, the flap that they wear to protect their mouth ended up hitting him in the face. He homered today. So, it seems like he's been able to bounce back from that earlier in the season. And I think the Mets went on to get a big win. Yeah, they won 10-3 over Arizona, and Minnesota did beat Boston earlier 8-4, if you're interested. But other guys, for whatever reason, it stays with them.
And some pitchers have been seriously hit with a comebacker, never seen to bounce back. And wasn't Herb Score hit by a line drive and never really recovered from that?
Yeah, he was hit in the head.
Yeah, but I don't think he ever came. He may have come back and making an attempt, but I don't think he ever really was the same after that hit.
Yeah, God, I think 1 year before he got hit in the head, he was like 18-1 or something. He had a fantastic year.
Yeah. So,
he
was never the same after that.
No, you go back even farther, it ended Rocky Colavito's career, I believe.
It did.
He got hit in the head, but I don't think they were wearing batting helmets yet.
No.
So.
Well, baseball's a very dangerous game. There's no question about it. A very dangerous game.
Mm-hmm. And I believe even today, since it is Jackie Robinson Day, I believe Robinson was hit in the head. I don't know if it was at the major league level. It might have been at the minor league level. But, he was able to come back and put together a great career. So, and his was definitely intentional. They were throwing at him just because he was a black guy playing baseball.
Yeah. And quite unfortunate when these things happen. And we never want to see anything like that again. Although there was some retaliation. Of course, last week we talked about it briefly in that Milwaukee Cub game.
Yeah, but nothing at the head.
No.
Like when the Cubs retaliated, they didn't throw at the head.
No. It was almost like he was hitting the butt, I think, Freeman, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Something in that area.
Yeah.
I found his explanation of why he was upset kind of amusing, though. If he's going to get hit, he said, hit him on the first pitch, not throw him a strike and then hit him. But
well, they tried to hit him, and the one went behind him.
Yeah. Well, that was the second pitch. Wasn't the first pitch a strike?
It might have been. But, the second one went behind him and he got hit on the third one. So, not like they didn't try.
Well, there does be a lot of animosity between the Cubs and the Brewers and from both sides. But it does appear that the Brewers are really throwing inside on Contreras, although you have to let a pitcher throw inside. It's part of the game.
Yeah, you do, but, you know, there's only – I mean, I can understand his frustration. There's only so many times you can get hit.
No, and he has been I mean, he's got to be bruised up already, and the season has just barely started. It's going to linger the whole season, too, isn't it?
Yeah, with the catchers, it doesn't take long, you know, until you start feeling it.
Well, I'm sure you had your share of black and blue marks over the course of your catching career.
Oh, yeah, you pick them up. You know, there's times you pick them up and you don't even know where you picked it up at. So,
yeah, it's a tough position to play. The toughest, I think, in baseball.
Oh, definitely. So, you know, you don't get breaks. You don't get to stand there. You're always involved.
No.
You know, and now you wear basically a computer, you know, on your wrist to call pitches.
Yeah. When I saw that, I thought to myself, is that legal to do that? And I guess it is.
Yeah, they're trying to, you know, stop teams from stealing signs. So, you know, that's the idea behind it. So, but all right, well, I want to bring back one of our favorite segments that the fans have been clamoring for, and I want to get some picks from you for the weekend, since, you know, baseball's back and we have a big selection here, and we'll start off in about 20 minutes here when the White Sox take the field at home against Tampa Bay, and we'll stick with just the one loss for the win this weekend. Who you got winning tonight? It's Tampa Bay at Chicago. Drew Rasmussen will pitch, I don't know, probably an inning or two for the Rays, the way they handle their pitchers, and it's Dylan Cease for the White Sox. Who you like there?
Well, since it's a home game, I'm going to go with the White Sox to win this one.
All right. And then we will skip out to Colorado, where the Cubs are. We got Marcus Stroman and Herman Marquez. Obviously, Stroman for the Cubs and Marquez for the Rockies. Who wins that game?
I will definitely go with Colorado in this one.
Oh, all right. So we will add those in. And then we will jump to tomorrow. Big game for Nashville as the Blackhawks visit, because Nashville is in the playoff hunt. The Blackhawks have been eliminated. So plain and simple, do the Blackhawks manage to get a win, or does Nashville take it to them like they always seem to?
Well, I do not look for a Blackhawk win tomorrow for sure.
All right, and then we will jump in and wrap it up on Sunday, and you know what's coming. The Bulls open their playoff series in Milwaukee. It's game one. Who wins the big opening game?
Well, let me think about that one. Yeah, I will take Milwaukee to win that one. By the way, do you know how many point favorites Milwaukee is for that one?
I can check and see if it has
been
posted.
Do you have time to check?
Yeah, we got
7 or 8 for sure, at least.
Milwaukee is currently a 10-point favorite in this game. So,
well, that's
do you
certainly
think they
based
cover
on
that?
I would take Milwaukee and take the point and give away the points and still take Milwaukee.
And, you know, not that we would hold this against your predictions, because I think the series will probably still be going on the next time you and I talk on air here. Do you still have Milwaukee sweeping, or do you think the Bulls get a game?
I'd like to see the Bulls win one game, but I still am predicting a Milwaukee sweep.
Ooh. Yeah, see, I'm still thinking the Bulls are going to get a game somewhere down the line, but, yeah, I'm shocked, as all in on them as you were earlier in the year, that you're this distraught and don't think they're going to pull up.
I'm very disappointed with their play lately. They've really been terrible over the last month or two. So I'd like to see them win.
You do wonder why the heck they fell apart. I mean, they just collapsed. So
is it all because Ball is out for the year? Would he have made that much of a difference?
You know, it's so hard to say, because not really a scorer. You know, I mean, I get it. He's the, you know, he's the point guard and those kind of things, but nothing, you know, nothing huge. So
no, he's a playmaker, and I don't know. They seem to get killed in the boards every game, and that's not his forte, of course. But I'm wondering if Vukovic is gone after this season.
It, you know, it's possible. So,
well, we have a couple of minutes left. I have to ask you one thing. Are you excited about football resuming over the weekend?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely can't wait for the USFL to kick off. Is that tonight?
I was wondering if it's tonight or tomorrow night.
I think they have a special Friday night game. One game is Friday night, and then everybody else plays tomorrow. Let me see if I can find their schedule here. So we got about 4 minutes to go. As long as my internet cooperates, I should be able to run it down. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with or how they manage to do it.
I wonder if more than one network will be covering the games over the weekend.
Yeah, they actually are. I believe the opening game tonight is on multiple networks. So, all right, let's see if the schedule will come up for me here. Oh, I don't want news about the schedule. I want the actual schedule. All right, here we go. Come on, Internet. Actually, it's tomorrow they start with New Jersey at Birmingham. You can watch that game on NBC, Fox, and Peacock. Then on Sunday they have three games, Houston at Michigan, Philadelphia at New Orleans, and Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh. The Houston at Michigan game is on NBC and Peacock. The Philadelphia at New Orleans game is on USA, and then Tampa at Pittsburgh is on FS1.
I know absolutely nothing about the rosters of those teams, but I'm going to go on record right here by saying I predict Birmingham to win the title.
Well, interestingly, all the games will be played in Birmingham, even though obviously teams are listed as the home team. So,
well, that gives them a huge advantage.
You would think. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, their season runs tomorrow. Their championship game is July 3rd. That's the only game that won't be played in Birmingham. That will be at the Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, Ohio.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Yeah. So nice way to end the season. You know, you get to go to the Hall of Fame and put things out.
They won't have any trouble about weather for that game either.
Yeah, you wouldn't think. The only problem they may have is maybe 100 degrees. So, all right, well, let's go start our weekend so you can watch the Cubs in a little bit. All right, have a great weekend, everyone.